I'm Don Walden, and I guess I was 22 at the time. I graduated the next year. So, yes, I was a student. I majored in English. Cheryl was from Rockdale, and she was visiting her grandmother, and we had met, and we were, you know, what you did at that time. If you showed anybody around the UT campus, what you did was go up on the tower. We got there a little before noon, and it closed at noon. The receptionist went to lunch. We stayed a little past noon, and we stayed out on that walkway around the reception area. We stayed there talking. We finally decided to go back in. We went back inside, and Whitman was standing there. He was wearing sort of a gray, I don't know what to call it. It was like a mechanic's suit. It's over coveralls, I guess. He had across his chest about three or four rifles. My mother will tell you that what saved my life was her prayers, but the way God made it happen, I think, was my ignorance, because I didn't know anything about guns. I mean, I realized but I thought it was lunchtime, and he was dressed in workman's stuff. I thought he was up there to shoot pigeons. And I say ignorance because you don't shoot pigeons with rifles. And I, at that time, at that age, did not know the difference between a rifle and a shotgun. And he was smiling a lot, big smile. And we said hi. And Cheryl said, "Don't step in that," and pointed down at that stripe that I put in the police. I drew a diagram for the police, and the police told me that that was the receptionist's blood. It didn't smell like anything. I thought, and none of this fits together, but I thought that it might be floor polish that he had, that he was, after he shot the pigeons, that he was then going to polish the floor. And so I stepped across it, and then we went on down. For those who don't know how it is, there's a reception area, there's a stairway going down to the elevators. And he had barricaded part of that stairway. He'd taken some chairs and piled them up down there. We went down, got on the elevator, and then apparently while we were going down, that other family came up and he shot them. He was facing us, and he was 5 feet away. He was standing in the middle of the room. We said hi. I'm glad that I didn't ask him if he was going to shoot pigeons. I don't think I did. All I remember is we said hi, and Cheryl said, "Don't step in that." And I stepped across it, the stripe of the receptionist's blood. I stepped across it and we went on downstairs. I was not thinking about mass murderers. There had never been any that I knew of. I really think he was trying to avoid killing us. Now, I can't prove that, obviously, but it would strictly be hypothesis. But he did have a big smile on his face. Maybe he saw two people who were having fun, and he just wanted to save them. We were standing on the northwest corner. We were chatting, standing on the northwest corner of the observation deck. The door, and of course, the walls are real thick, and the door is on the southeast corner. So we're on the opposite side of the door. I think I could have heard a shot. So I don't think he shot her. On the elevator, we didn't even mention it. We just chatted, just talking. We went down and went outside, and we went to the West Mall. We went out there, and we were standing in front of there, and a bunch of people there were standing looking up. And that's when we heard the first shot. Apparently, he had shot some people while we were inside the tower. So we ran to the building across the mall from Harry's place. We ran in the door that faced the West Mall and stayed in there until it was until they told us that we could get out. As far as blaming myself, no, I couldn't have stopped him. He was much bigger than I was. And I didn't even think about it. As far as I remember, this was the first mass shootings in my life. It's just not something that you thought about. I mean, literally, what's a guy doing standing there holding three or four rifles? I didn't think about the possibility he was going to start shooting people. My mother would want me to tell you this. That morning, about 2 o'clock in the morning, she woke up with a feeling that she ought to pray for somebody. And Daddy was in Vietnam. She prayed for Daddy, and that didn't help. And she prayed, I guess, for my sister, and that didn't help. And then she prayed for me, and she said it all went away. They were in Arkansas, and she turned the radio on to listen to the news and heard about it. Then she tried to get in touch with me, and that was almost impossible for hours. Late at night, she finally got through to me, and she said, "Are you okay?" And the way she tells it is, she said, "Yes, Mother, but I'm lucky to be alive. If God saved me for anything, then I think he's been sorely disappointed in me." Now, I've taught some people. I was a college teacher. My daughter may do something. My granddaughter may do something. My great-grand-granddaughter, which I don't have yet. Somebody may do something important someday, but I haven't done much very important, except that I have taught for 15 years.